This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hour two here on Danny and Dusty. It is a Danny and Will Orton edition. Dusty's still sitting down in Mexico. Jeff Russ behind the glass on the ones and twos. We're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for being with us on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Well, Cam Ward, University of Miami, quarterback and now presumptive number one overall pick, had his pro day yesterday, and it was live streamed. And it was out there for everyone to see, all of the darts, all of the pre-planned routes and everything that comes along with it. And what was interesting was who was missing from that particular workout. The Cleveland Browns sent two people to go watch Cam Ward workout. Typically, you would probably see a lot more from one of the top three pick holders go there. But it seems to be becoming more and more clear. The Titans are not going to trade out of that spot. They're going to take Cam Ward. Or if they do, they're going to get all of the things.
Yeah, they want everything.
I don't think there's a team out there.
They have a lot of holes.
There you go. I don't think there's a team out there that exists. Let that one land clean. That is going to give up the King's ransom for Cam Ward. I like Cam Ward. I said coming into this season that of the quarterbacks that I believed in, air quotes, Cam Ward was the guy that I liked the most.
Yeah,
let's
just be honest. Cam Ward comes out last year, where's Cam Ward taken? Let's say at WSU, he has this same year where he's awesome. He's Heisman finalist. He is everything that we thought he could be.
I would take him in front of McCarthy.
So he's fourth.
That's me, though.
So he's fourth.
Yeah.
So he's fourth. And according to a lot of NFL people, they were saying that McCarthy was low. Like, it still shocks some of them that McCarthy was as low as he was. And McCarthy, again, was the fourth QB taken off the board. So there's a chance that he's at best fifth.
in a very, we may look back at last year's draft and go, well, that was a really good quarterback draft.
Right, but there's also the Trevor Lawrence draft.
Where it's just Trevor Lawrence.
And even Trevor Lawrence, there's a lot of shine that has worn off.
Certainly.
There. So I wonder, with Cam Ward in Tennessee, will there be a team that falls in love with him? Will there be a team?
Because all it takes is one. I mean,
all it takes is one.
The Panthers are a perfect
example. And it's a weak QB class.
Of the bad teams doing it.
Right.
But Trey Lance is the example of the good teams that do it.
Right.
When you fall in love with your guy, you fall in love with your guy.
Will there be a team that makes that jump? I don't know that there's a team in this that would. Because the teams that I think, you know, they're in a spot where they need a QB, Cleveland Browns, it sounds like they really like Shador. There's a lot of smoke to the Cleveland Browns and the New York Giants.
But it also sounds like that Deion has been trying to keep the Browns away from Shador, which makes that more interesting.
It's a funny situation because as an organization, if I'm Deion, I want Shador nowhere near Cleveland. But as a head coach and a quarterback coach, Kevin Stefanski, I might want Shador there. Now, Daboll is a great 1B, right? If he ends up in New York and he's with Brian Daboll, that's a great 1B. Sure. Daboll's been awesome with every QB that he's had. He helped fix Jalen Hurts. He helped Tua Tagovailoa when he was at Alabama.
Couldn't save Daniel Jones because no one can.
No one can, but he made him look good for a year. He made him look good for a year, and he's the one who helped fix Josh Allen.
And, you know, Tommy Cutlets.
But when you talk about Kevin Stefanski, who are the QBs on his, like, checklist?
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins. What does Kirk Cousins have? He's a pretty smart QB, not overly athletic, not a great arm, not a bad arm, but a good arm.
Median quarterback, as far as, like, intangibles.
Baker Mayfield. Pretty average quarterback. Maybe slightly above. There's some things about Baker that I like a little bit more.
I don't think it was a skill issue as much as it was a maturity issue, in which Baker got that right, and now he's a...
But again...
Top, at least top half, if not...
Right.
The 10th best quarterback in the league?
He's above average.
Yeah.
He not an overly strong arm, not overly athletic.
And then he got what was left of Deshaun Watson.
This Kevin Stefanski coach, correct me if I'm wrong, was he part of that crew in Minnesota with Case Keenum?
I mean, yeah. It's
definitely average arm.
Yeah.
Under
he knows average. How to get the stuff out of guys.
Right, but below average athleticism. What does that fit with Shador? Shador is a guy with a pretty decent arm, but not insane, not a flamethrower.
No.
He's not overly athletic. He's not unathletic,
but
he's not going to run around forever.
Good size.
He's great in the pocket, in movement.
Maybe too good at some times for holding on the ball too long.
Fair. But again, he's smart. He's a game manager. Even look at the last success that Cleveland had. True success where they got to the playoffs. Joe Flacco. Old-ass Joe Flacco. Mm-hmm. Was able to have success in Cleveland.
Comeback player of the year?
Because, weird, a guy died and he got comeback player of the year. But they had success. He had, at that point, he's lost the power that he had when he was in Baltimore prime. He is a below average athlete. He has an average arm probably because he had a way above average when he was in Baltimore. But he was a game manager. The attributes that Shador has fit well with what Stefanski can build. Now, I'm not saying that that's where he's going to go, but there's definitely some smoke to that fire, and I understand it. It's not because it's the organization, because the organization is a dumpster fire. And if it was just based on the organization, he shouldn't want to go there. But because of who the coach is and the success that he's had with a certain style of QB that Shador fits, maybe that's a possible landing spot and why a team that needs a QB wouldn't trade up to that Tennessee spot.
And the interesting thing is, if you're talking about Stefanski and Cleveland and Shador, Fan Text Line brought up the same point I was just about to make. I don't think there's really any shaky ground around Stefanski right now. I don't think he's somebody that's going to hit get put on the eject button immediately, whereas with Daboll, it feels like that ground is, it's awful thin ice. Mm-hmm. That if things go sideways again, they're going to hit a full reset, both coach and front office.
I was going to say, not just
oh, no, Shane one, too.
Both yeah, would no. go. Where there's a little more stability in Cleveland, as weird as it sounds, in that I think if they have a bad year next year, I think Stefanski's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, his seat would be warm.
Well, certainly.
He would have left the seat warmer on too long in the morning, mm-hmm. but he's there.
Burn your butt GM, in those leather seats.
Your GM's probably still there. So that might be a spot for him to land. Now, maybe some of this is listening too much to Boston sports fan, mm-hmm. and they're trying to find a way to get Abdul Carter to
fall
the Patriots yeah. at four. But I do think that if he landed in Cleveland, it would make sense. You wouldn't look on day one of the draft and go, how did Shador end up at two? Now, the problem is if he doesn't end up in Cleveland and he doesn't end up with the Giants.
Where does he end up?
He falls.
Because yeah, I don't think the Raiders look at him.
And I don't think the Raiders look at him. I don't know that the Jets look at him.
Yeah.
And then the other big fall then would be Jackson Dart. Because you want to talk about variance of where that guy could go?
Because there's one mock that I saw him in the top 10, and basically everything else before that, he was the front of the second round.
I was going to say, Tannenbaum has him as a top 10 guy, yeah. I believe.
Yeah, there's a couple guys that have him there.
Have him way high.
Which, when that popped up, my eyebrows went up. I'm sorry, what?
Right. He is the prototypical big QB, strong arm, really good athleticism, and so then teams fall in love with him. But when you watched him at Ole Miss, as many times as he made a great play, he had issues. He had key mistakes. You know, you look at the loss that they had to Florida. When they needed a big-time drive, he threw three interceptions on that drive. Just two of them got called back before the last one finally went through. When they needed a big play, it didn't feel like Dart made the right play. He has all the ability.
I mean, yeah, it's the reason why he was such a high recruit coming out of high school.
Yeah, but I mean, he was with the QB Whisper. Mm-hmm. Lane Kiffin's known for being a good QB coach.
Getting most out of guys.
Did he get the most out of Jackson Dart? Just because he has all the size, all the intangibles, athleticism.
Look, if you're talking about drawing up a quarterback in a lab, they're going to come out looking like Jackson Dart.
Right. And that, like, for me, I would stay away from him.
I wouldn't.
You like Jackson Dart? You want him in Vegas?
If the Raiders got him in the second round, I would be thrilled.
I don't think that he's getting to the second.
I don't either now, but a month ago I did. And the Raiders are picking, 37th in the second round? And it was one of those things where it's like, I could see them very easily going down that path.
I don't know that he gets out of the 20s.
It's going to be interesting. The NFL draft, even though this is a quote-unquote down year for the draft, it's going to be interesting because every team has their first-round pick and what teams do depending on draft slotting and where guys go and how far guys fall or don't fall or who falls in love with who and who and the whole musical chairs of that all shaking out, a month away?
Yeah.
April 23rd?
It's earlier this year, it feels like, isn't it?
I can't remember. I think it's the 23rd.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
I think you're 20, correct.
22nd or 23rd.
It's within about a month.
Yeah, which is crazy. The sports calendar is going to flip over here real quick.
It's been a quiet draft cycle.
It has, because I think a lot of that is just the down year of the
it's
draft.
It's not as sexy this year.
No, but also we've seen these drafts before where it's like, it's not that sexy, and it's like, oh, there's four Hall of Famers in the first round. And when you go back and look, you're like, oh, well, that's pretty good. So,
they worked out.
What the hell is going on down at Stanford? The School of Prestigious Learning and Silicon Valley Finances going through it right now after thinking they had the coach of the future. He is on his way out, and it's not great, Bob. We'll get that next year on Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Things not going well in Palo Alto. Troy Taylor, a coach hiring that we liked, leaving Sacramento State, going down to Stanford, taking over the program 2 years ago, has been removed effective immediately. after a case of bullying, retaliation, and just overall gross misconduct, particularly as it pertains to female employees. Just derogatory, inflammatory. Basically, it sounds like everything except for sexually related remarks. Just creating a hostile workplace. This is all reporting from ESPN. And it wasn't a one-off. This has happened multiple times. Mm-hmm. He was talked to and forced to, not forced to, he was offered the opportunity to sign a letter saying, hey, if you do this again, we're going to get rid of you. Right. And then he did it again, and they didn't get rid of him, and then it came up again.
Well, I'll tell you what. I like the letter that Andrew Luck has put out, because as weird as I think Andrew Luck is, I do think that he's a good guy. And that yeah. he's going to try and do the right thing. This tells you how bad the timing of this announcement and the firing of Taylor tells you how bad it is.
Yeah, because it is a ramp up of spring football.
No, you're in the middle.
Yeah.
You're in the middle of spring ball right now. You are not, more than likely, not going to be able to go and hire a coach from outside of the university. And if you do, it's not going to be your number one choice. It's not going to be, you know, that FCS coach that you hire and get in like WSU did with South Dakota State's coach Rogers, right? Or like what you thought you had with Taylor the first time that you hired him. What's probably going to have to happen is you're going to probably have to promote from within.
You're in a gap year.
That coach is going to be an interim. Mm-hmm. And then you're either going to stick with them or go find someone else. This must have been incredibly, incredibly bad.
Well, I mean, was it 2 weeks ago, I believe, is the reporting that Andrew Luck went to bat and addressed the team with Taylor in the room saying, look, what he's doing is not okay.
And it will not happen
again. And apparently it happened again. And then another report came up and they said, all right, dog, see you later. Bye.
Yep. And there's a standard that you have to have when you're at the University of Stanford.
Not just as a football coach.
There's a prestige.
But there's a football coach and Stanford on top of it. It's another layer, because the guys you recruit are different.
And I'll never understand why someone would bully or belittle those that work with them.
Yeah.
You have to go and see them every day.
They can make your job easier or harder. Which one do you choose?
And look, I understand there's arguments, right? Yeah. Like one of the staffers, I believe, as I was reading through the ESPN article, was something with the NCAA compliance, right? It was a compliance officer, one of them, where she was telling him and warning him of rules violations that he was facing. You might have disagreements. Hey, I don't think that that's a rule.
Yeah.
Or, hey, I think that there's a different interpretation of that rule. But you know who you should be the nicest to?
The rules people.
The rules person.
Do you want them to go to bat for you? Because here's the thing. On top of that, they hired an independent, not investigator, but kind of a PR firm management team to come in. And even she said, yeah, no, this guy treated me hostile. I can see how this could be taken this way.
It's like in the movie Waiting. Don't F with the people that bring you your food.
Yes.
Yeah, don't bite the hand that feeds you. It's so simple. It's so simple.
It's
the other one, too, commenting on people's clothing. In this day and age?
Yeah.
Like, come on. Let's grow up. It's 2025.
Do these jeans make my butt look big?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
No, your face does.
It happens.
It's like, I am not going to comment. I just went on a rant about how you shouldn't, and I will not.
I will, Jeff. Your butt looks great.
Oh, thanks.
I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, I can tell. I was like, there we go.
Where is my compliance officer?
I need an adult. I need an adult.
So how do you think the people on the other end of Troy Taylor felt then?
Yeah, see? But
this guy stinks.
Yeah, no, it sucks too, because 2 years ago when they made this hire, Dusty and I were talking about this, like, this seems like a guy that could be the right guy and get Stanford back on track.
He made Sac State a incredibly good university and a good football program.
And we talked to him a couple different times.
He found Cam Scataboo.
Like, he was a guy that, like, we liked talking to. You know what I mean? Like, it was very... took his time with us and was very thoughtful in the things that he expressed at the last media day that we did. And it was like I remember getting off the phone with him and being like, you know, we go to a break and Dusty and I just kind of looked at each other like, this dude's got the goods. Like, they might have something here at Stanford. And it turns out they might have, but he was not a good dude. And wrong. So, unfortunately, that's where Stanford finds himself now and spiraling away in the ACC. Not the place you want to be. All right, coming up next, it's our worst day on the web. And I don't know, man. Everybody has their food choices. Maybe stay away from feral pig. We'll get to that and more. But first, it's the Big Kahuna with Sports and Update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
When was the last time either of you had feral pig?
Well, the next time would be the first.
I think that I've had farm to pig, but I don't know that I've had feral. What about grass-fed? I've had grass-fed pig.
That's not feral.
The feral would be like wild.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I was doing a cow thing there. Yeah. It's okay, went over your guys' heads. Or it wasn't funny. One of the two.
The latter.
I'm filing a report.
Because if you know what actually pigs actually eat, it's the slop pen for a reason.
I was like, don't they eat themselves?
This story.
Are they one of those animals?
Shocking to no one, out of Florida. A man in his 70s contracted an extremely rare and life-threatening infection in his implanted defibrillator after eating feral pig.
But, okay, feral pig, you can still cook it and it be feral pig, correct?
Sure.
Shouldn't that help the issue?
Well, here's where in it lies. Before cooking and consuming the gift from a local hunter, the man remembers handling the raw meat with bare hands. Probably some unsanitary, you know, handling it and licking the fingers kind of situation.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's the first thing you take as a former Safeway produce clerk. It's the first thing they teach you when you take the test. Like, hey, do you handle the food, raw food, with your bare hands? No.
It's, red meat is the only thing that when I'm cooking that I will handle with bare hands. I am not Rop when it comes to like cleanliness of like, for those that don't know, Rop is
clean.
He wipes down everything after everyone, anybody who sits here wipes down the keyboard, wipes down the mouse. What, you know, we all have our own, and this is obviously a sanitary thing. We all have our own individual mic covers.
Yep.
But there's a Clorox thing here for Rop. He wipes everything all the time.
Pretty much. I don't know of anyone else. I don't think I've seen anyone else use it.
No. I mean, occasionally if you just want to wipe something down.
Or if something's sticky, yeah, but that doesn't happen much.
No, because we don't eat in here, or at least we're not supposed to. But I've hunted, I dress my own game, that kind of thing. I have no issue with that. But there's a sliminess to like birds and fowl that I don't like touching. So I buy the big old Costco thing of cooking gloves.
Yeah. Yeah.
The nitrile food handler gloves.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Worn them before.
Unless it's red meat like steak, I just won't handle it with bare hands.
I think you've seen a lot of people too with like the red meat that are doing that as well.
But for me, it's like, it's not just a cleanliness thing. It's also just like a texture thing. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm out on it. But I am religious about my cooking utensils and my hands like being washed. Like if I use like tongs.
Yeah.
So let's say I'm cutting something up and you know, mixing it together in a bowl with seasoning or whatever.
Yep.
Whatever tongs I use to handle the raw, I use a different set of tongs in the pan. So like tongs to pan, fine. As soon as I flip.
Tongs to plate.
Different.
Interesting.
Different.
See, I don't know that I've had tongs.
And I will rinse it off.
Rinse it off. I do that.
In between.
Rinse it off. Have to.
If I think I have come anywhere. So I got food poisoning so bad one time, it almost killed me. I was in the hospital for a week.
Wow.
It was bad. It was bad seafood. Which is why I really don't.
Not a sushi guy.
Well, no. Love sushi. I'm not going to say the name of the restaurant, but the restaurant was cooked seafood.
I didn't cook it all the way through. Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, I lost like 30 pounds in the span of a week. It was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to stay in the hospital. It was like 6 days. Yeah. But I want no part of it. Like, so I am, if there is a part of my life where I am religiously clean,
it's with food.
It is with food, and particularly anything not red meat, because whole red meat, unless you got like mad cow,
yeah,
you're good. Ground beef, though, that's a little bit different. Like anything that's ground, because you have different parts of the animal in right, there, right, you can run into other things. But like whole steak, don't get me wrong. I'm not just like, you know, handling it and licking my fingers.
Can't wait to touch it. Yeah.
No. But I'm very careful of that. But pork, bird, fowl, anything like that, 100%. Like, I have multiple stations in the kitchen set up, and nothing touches anything. Like, I am disgustingly clear about that. Fan text line mentioned one restaurant. That's not it. It's not a fast food chain.
I appreciated that.
Yeah. Also, I don't think they're around anymore. Are Skippers around anymore?
I think so. I think there's one by me, actually.
Is there?
There used to be one by me. That's a guarantee.
I know there's the rare Long John Silver's out there that I see in the wild.
Yeah.
There's one out my way. I believe it's a joint Long John Silver's and Taco Bell.
Taco Bell, yeah. Yeah. That's usually what I think it is.
There's nothing funnier than the Taco Bell mixed with the other. Like, I don't know why they always crack me up.
KFC
like,
Taco Bell?
Like, in Battleground, they have the Taco Bell A&W.
That's what it is. The A&W,
we got one of those out there.
It cracks me up every time I see it. It's like, do you think they have a rivalry?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's the A&W KFC.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought it was. There's KFC,
So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's the A&W KFC, and it cracks me up every time. Like, there's a part of me that, like, I know they all work for the same company, but I want the A&W people to, like, kind of look their nose up at the KFC people.
Look,
like,
man,
we are the blue collar workers here.
The once a year moment where I'm like, you know what sounds really good right now? That A&W root beer float.
Oh, nothing.
It comes in clutch. There's one in Sherwood.
Better.
And it, like, that one warm day when you, like, you're stopped at the stoplight at 12th and Sherwood and 99, and I look over there and I see it. It's like the just calling.
Yeah. Oh, I remember as a kid, the old A&W drive-in on 101 at Seaside.
Yeah.
There's something nostalgic about that malt float that you're just like.
A young Tom Ortner, that was his first job. So my father, and I believe that was one of the perks, was like, you got to go home with the free root beer float.
Ooh,
there you go.
That's a nice one.
See, when I worked at Safeway, we traded goods. It was much like the old school flea market, where I would trade the fruits from produce so that I could get the nice, not upfront meat.
Okay.
I had to make sure that I was careful on how I said that, because I don't need another drop. I already have enough.
I was wondering why you said it in that manner. I'm like,
there's enough drops of meat today. But it was like, I will trade.
Brother, you don't even have a page full. Dusty and I have like six each.
That's true. That's true.
And they're so much worse than the ones you've had.
That is true. Well, yeah, there's the dinger one in there somewhere.
They have a lot of holes.
Whoa!
That's a good one.
Whoa!
That's a good one.
That's bad. And I'm whispering?
Yeah.
It's like ASMR. Yeah. I don't like that.
By the way, Skipper is still in Woodland, Washington, Puyallup, and Silverdale.
I was going to say,
So Washington only. So they're not down here.
And I believe it is a Northwest chain.
Okay. Yeah, well, that makes sense, though. Woodland is a place where all the old fast food still stays. Like, Woodland's an interesting town. I have to be nice to Woodland because, well, they are in 2A, but they're not as good as Hawkins.
As it pertains to the 70-year-old man, this infection, Brucella suisse, got into his heart. He ingested this apparently in 2017, and like it's just come out, like what they figured out what it was, because they had to remove the entire device. And the scans on this are incredible. So it's a PET scan, a PET scan. And it's of his heart and defibrillator, and you can actually see the infection in the system. And it's so crazy. The bacteria slipped in through the man's defibrillator, passing through his chest wall, the left subclavian vein, and into the muscular tissue of his left ventricle. So they had to pull out the entire medical device. And basically, this bacteria, it's most common in goats, sheep, and pigs. So I imagine wild and not treated for whatever. That's the game you play when you go with the game. So in a 30-year review of over 5,000 patients with a defibrillator, only one patient has ever had this, requiring the complete device removal.
So then he has to get a new one put in, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Does insurance cover that? Do you think insurance has like eight bad hog insurance? Like this is your heart defibrillator is covered.
You're careful. You're worried about drops and you just went out with that, huh?
Well, he ate a bad hog. It was feral. I don't understand.
There you go. Lean into it. Lean into it at this point.
Yeah, now I want a full page.
Yeah, no, it's look, it happens. Look, I wanted to go the feral pig because the other one here was we were all kind of probably going to cheer for this because it was one of those parking lot incidents where somebody tried to stand in a empty parking spot to hold it for somebody else. She got run over.
I don't know that I'm going to cheer for the running over of a person, but yeah, you probably
you're looking the other way.
You don't get to do that.
The old Chris Rock stand up thing. Is that I'm not saying I condone it, but I understand.
Yes, yes, that's exactly what it is. I don't condone running people over.
You're not looking away. I'm saying
you're looking away.
You're looking away.
I would like to not see someone get run over.
Eh.
I can't do the Kevin Ware injury. I'm not going to be able to do someone getting run over.
I mean, if it's Hitler, you don't want to watch?
That's not fair.
So you would.
This is the old, never mind.
Yeah, no, just look, never say never. Just
you're
say
right.
it.
You're right. Justin Bieber said that, and now I'll say it.
Sure, why not?
It's a song of his.
Yeah, okay.
And Jaden Smith.
I'll take your word on that one. Coming up next, unfortunately, injuries suck, and the world of women's college basketball had one of the worst ones last night in the women's college basketball tournament. We'll get to that next here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Well, unfortunately, last night for the Lady Trojans, arguably the best player in the country, Juju Watkins, against Mississippi State in the NCAA tournament. Early on, suffers a devastating knee injury, and she's out. You knew it immediately. She hit the ground and did the same thing that every one of us has ever done it does.
Grabbed and screamed.
You reach down, you grab, and you scream. And it's an unforgettable feeling. It's an unforgettable – and the thing is, like, the difference between, like, a bad sprain and a tear is the sound.
Well, and isn't there like a heat immediately too?
But the thing that you remember mm-hmm. is you don't hear it like outside the body unless a bone breaks. But when you tear a ligament, particularly your knee, it echoes through your body. It mm-hmm. sounds like somebody like snapping or like breaking a cord of wood in your head. And it's you just
yeah.
the second that happens, you know. And when you reach down and you scream, back it up.
Right. Well, and usually too, like when there is a tear, like we think of football, they have their helmet on so you don't see it.
Yeah.
Or if it is basketball, usually it's in a group of people. Mm-hmm. Like it's her and the two Mississippi State defenders.
And it doesn't look really graphic. It's not again like Kevin Ware or Yusuf Nurkic.
You can tell the behind angle, yeah. it makes it really obvious
you see
it what
buckle.
Happened.
Yeah.
But again, it's the Mississippi State player, it was a physical game. She bumps her as she's running.
I believe that was
her,
the fifth foul on Juju in the first half alone. They were beating the hell out of her.
They were doing old school yeah. Jordan rules, bad oh, boy yeah. Pistons.
It was the only way they had any chance was to be physical.
Right.
And I mean USC put it on them. My God.
And they got her in the right moment where her leg isn't fully stable and she gets hit and it goes. And I think not only is it unfortunate for her, but the timing of it and how it loses some of the momentum, because USC was going to play UConn in the Elite Eight. If
I mean,
they both got there,
USC,
they were both going to get
there. They're a number one seed for a reason.
They were both going to get there.
Yeah. I mean,
it was setting up for an epic yeah. showdown. And now the women's tournament loses that.
Yeah. I mean, and I've seen a lot of people, and look, we don't talk a lot of women's sports here because it's still not as big as it can be and will be, and you know when we get the WNBA team here, we'll probably talk about it a little bit because it'll be during the summer and you right. won't have the other stuff in front of it, and it will be a big deal here. But Everybody's like, well, it's down this year. It's down this year. It's like, yeah, it's down this year because the two biggest stars in Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, who built equity over 4 years, are not there anymore.
But and it'll ramp up right when the season starts.
But
because you know who still draws numbers every time I'm on Twitter? I see something about Caitlin or Angel Reese every day.
They'll draw that attention. But right. The thing that sucks for not only Juju, but for women's basketball is she tore her knee in March.
It's going to cost her. It's what happened to Beckers. Beckers did the same thing, and you lost two years of Beckers.
And like, and this, I said it last night. This is where you tweet, or this tweet. This is where you hope and you pray, whatever it is that you do, that she's got the Adrian Peterson super healing factor.
Right. And she's back in six.
And she's back in 6 months, and she's ready to go next season. Right. But unfortunately, that's probably not going to be the outcome.
Well, and the other thing about it, I mean, you can listen to any, you know, athlete that has torn their ACL. When do they feel at their best? It's not the first year they come back.
About 18 months.
The second
year. Yeah, it's about 18 months. Right? It's not just the physical stuff. It's the mental stuff of trusting it.
So with what her age is too, unless she decides to come back and take the medical like Paige did, because there's a difference between how Paige is playing this year as opposed to last year, because last year was her coming back from her injury. If Juju misses next year, which is likely, not for sure, but likely, her senior year would be the year after when she comes back. There's not a guarantee that she comes back and she is Juju like she was this year, where she was...
It took Paige a while to round
she's
back
the,
in form.
She's the front runner for the National Player of the Year as a sophomore. She took a USC team that is good, but would you say this USC team is as good as UCLA or UConn or South Carolina? They're probably with,
I mean,
they're up there with them. Okay,
they're number one seed. They beat UCLA.
Okay,
that's the loss. That's the lone loss that UCLA had this year was against USC.
You're right. Okay, so I'll walk it back a little bit.
Big Ten national champion, Big Ten conference champion, and number one, or not the number one overall seed, but a number one seed. Like
right,
Juju is her.
Like she's awesome.
And it's not just that team. You've got Kiki, who's also who came down from Stanford. Like
Van Hohoffen
from Oregon State. Like they've got a loaded team. There's a reason why they're number one seed. And as much as the women's game has grown from just UConn and Tennessee, there's still a clear line of demarcation.
Yes.
The top four, maybe five seeds overall. So 20, 25 teams in the country.
The first weekend is blowouts.
After that, this game, even without Juju going out, they stomped a hole. In Mississippi State. You had multiple 50-point games in the women's tournament.
All the time.
Just last week.
I want to say UConn was whoever they were playing in the first round.
Were they up 70 at one point in time?
I believe the line was 80 and a half.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
That's what the gambling line was, 80 and a half.
The game is growing. It still has a lot more room to grow, and it sucks.
She's a fun star.
She's the next face of women's basketball.
Shoot, right now when you turn on the TV, her commercials are going all day.
I mean, she's all over ESPN all the time, and it's because she's got that it factor.
It factor city, too.
Yes, and the one thing that USC does have going for it is Jazzy Davison from Clackamas, the number two recruit in the class, will be joining her next year, and hopefully, and for those that, again, local girl, like Oregon, producing another high school monster, following in the path of the Lawsons out at Westview, and every player that's coming out of Clackamas and
Cameron Brink.
Yeah, at Mountainside. So not too bad for a small state, but sucks. Sucks for USC, sucks for Juju. I hate to see it. Hopefully we get it back out there, and it helps grow the women's game. All right, coming up next, we're going to reset, dive into the Portland Trailblazers tonight, taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers, and this game basically being make or break. We'll get to that here in hour number 3 on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.